been seen on CNBC, the Fox News Channel, and the Fox Business Channel. His articles can be found on MarketWatch, Seeking Alpha, TheStreet.com, and many other places. He's the author of the weekly Best Stocks Now newsletter and the inventor of the Best Stocks Now app. He's president of Gunderson Capital Management. Here is professional money manager, Bill Gunderson.
And welcome to the Wednesday morning. It's the last day of September. It's fall. It's the last day of the third quarter of 2020. This is Bill Gunderson, president of Gunderson Capital Management. And we've had a huge, massive turnaround in the market since I woke up this morning fairly early after staying up late last night. The initial reaction to the debate was down, I want to say 300 on the Dow at one point. Then we were down about 100 about an hour before the open. Then we got better than expected GDP numbers and ADP job numbers, and now the Dow is up 365 points, 27,817. You know, I think the market is about as undecided about who's going to win the election as the general public is. That's my take. S&P 500 up 33 points right now, up 1%. The NASDAQ up 97 points, 11,186. Russell 2K up 1% right now. Crude oil up 8 cents, 39.37. Boy, oil has been under pressure. The energy sector has just been a wasteland. Gold down 12.70 per ounce, 18.90. Silver down 59 cents to $23.85. And we're finally, no, the bond market has been, it has, is the bond market open? Has it taken 2 weeks off, Paul? I haven't heard from Paul for 2 weeks. Oh, I'm just kidding. The 10-year's at 0.67. 0.67, where it's been mired for about 2 weeks now. So welcome to the Best Stocks Now Radio Hour with professional money manager Bill Gunderson, president of Gunderson Capital Management. I have enough material today to do a two-hour show. I just asked my producer, said, can I go for 2 hours today? No, you can't do that. We've got someone right on after you in Sarasota. In Minnesota and Pennsylvania and Portland and all the other cities the show is heard in, Boca Raton, etc. You got to shut up after an hour, Gunderson, so I will. But I'm going to try to pick out the very best stories for you in this next hour. Hard hitting. I've been up early looking under a lot of rocks. I found a lot of things, and let's get right into it. Last night's debate, I would say, well, the biggest market moving items that came out of the debate, Biden did confirm that he will take the corporate tax rate back up to 28 from the 21 that Trump took it to, so that's just a yo-yo going back and forth, but it's a pretty big yo-yo. It represents about a 20% hit to the earnings of the S&P 500. You can do the math on what a 20% hit to S&P 500 earnings would do. What else? The Green New Deal. Well, you know what? First, we heard it was going to pay for itself. Then we heard that Joe Biden's not for it. So I think the market right now just really doesn't know what's going to happen. I think the market is probably more afraid of what's not going to happen. In other words, an undecided election that drags on for weeks or months. One thing the market does not like is uncertainty. So that's how we open up today. Now, we're up 357 right now, and now I'm figuring out why. Well, there was a better-than-expected ADP jobs report. That boosted the market a little bit, but it seems to be that the big market mover this morning is Mnuchin. Mnuchin, triple N. Mnuchin, the market mover, saying that by Thursday we should at least have an understanding of what the Democrats want in their stimulus package and what the Republicans want in their stimulus package, and if the two sides can come together. You know, most days when you see the market turn around like it did this morning and blast off, you can usually count on stimulus talk in there somewhere. The market continues to be addicted, as it always has been, to stimulus. All right, let's take a look. Man, there's a lot today. I've got to kind of cherry pick what I have gathered here today. Well, yesterday we had a sell-off. The COVID spike dents the sentiment. I tweeted out yesterday that both the S&P 500 and the Dow are struggling with their 50-day moving averages. They're struggling. They're probably back above today. The NASDAQ's above its 50-day, but that is becoming kind of a line right now that both the S&P and the Dow are hugging. I would say the overall direction, just stepping back from the painting and looking at the big picture, the overall direction of the market right now is kind of sideways. We had a torrid run from March 19th until September the 2nd. When the Dow peaked, that was 4 weeks ago, or the NASDAQ peaked above 12,000, that was 4 weeks ago. And now you've had a correction, and we're kind of settling into a sideways trend, which makes perfect sense, really, with the uncertainty over the next 33 days until the election. So we did have an off day yesterday. The markets overnight around the world really mixed. Not seeing much of a cue one way or another from the debate. In the meantime, Goldman Sachs says, you know what, don't fear the election results one way or another. They say they are in a holding bullish view. Goldman Sachs wades into the dangerous territory of predicting the impact on the market of a Democratic sweep in the election to attempt to dissuade some investor concerns, or a GOP sweep or a split, all these different scenarios being weighed out. Goldman Sachs saying it really doesn't matter. Well, you know what? I think there are some big, big issues that do matter. I think it will have a big impact on the market going forward. Goldman still says by year end they think the S&P 500 will be at 3,600. I just look at it from a mathematical point of view. What have I watched for the last 12 years since the market bottomed in 2009? I just watched the annual earnings of the S&P 500. That's one of the key indicators that I keep my eye on. And, you know, that has been going up. It went up. We're going to have a big drop this year, obviously, down about 20% from last year. That's why we went into a bear market. It didn't last very long. We're going to have the first down year in earnings over the last 12 years. But next year, we're expected to resume that growth again. But a 20% hike, going from the 21% corporate tax rate to the 28%, would have about a 20% effect on next year's earnings estimates. So we have to take that into account. And when I do my target prices for the S&P 500 in my newsletter every week, I think it's only logical. You do one scenario under a Republican win, and you do the other scenario under a Democrat win, because they've stated their positions very, very clearly. And a tax hike does have, remember, when you look at S&P 500 earnings, that's after-tax earnings. Well, bad news for Disney, man. They're not happy. They're not happy with Governor Newsom. They're not happy with Anaheim. Anaheim's losing a lot of money. Disney's going to lay off 28,000 people. Have you ever been to a stadium? I mean, that's a big crowd at a Padre game, 28,000. That's like, wow, the Padres must. Hey, the Padres are playing in the playoffs today for the first time in 14 years. Wow, there is a Santa Claus. Anyways, Disney is laying off 28,000. The Parks chief, Josh D'Amato, not happy, takes a shot at Gavin Newsom in California. He's the governor, noting the state's unwillingness to lift restrictions would allow Disneyland to reopen. Now, as far as I know, Disney World in Florida is open. They're not allowing 100% capacity. About 67% of the 28,000 employees were part-time employees. The layoffs come from the parks, the experiences, and the consumer product segment. And there is no indication at all of when Disneyland will open, the Magic Kingdom. D'Amaro goes on to say, we've cut expenses, we've suspended capital projects, we furloughed our cast members. We have to do these layoffs, 28,000 people. All right, this is Bill Gunderson. We got a lot of stocks to talk about today, some you've never heard of before. We'll be right back. Here to the second quarter of the Best Stocks Now Radio on this last day of September, on this last day of the third quarter of, the third quarter of 2020. And of course, that means the books will close today on Wall Street as the firm's publicly traded companies start counting the beans. And we'll start. Let's see when J.P. Morgan, they're one of the first companies that will report earnings. J.P. Morgan earnings report. Let's see, J.P.M., if I can type here, J.P.M. earnings season will start October 13th, okay, so 2 weeks. And then it gets real hairy there for about a month or so. And right now, I think expectations are for earnings to be down about 20%, I want to say, from last year. Key milestone for 737 MAX, recertification as FAA chief takes test flight. Okay, he came home safely. That is a key milestone. And Boeing today, which, you know, I talk about Boeing a lot because it's a member of the Dow. I use Boeing to call the bottom of the market back in March. I said Boeing bottom equals Dow bottom. Well, Boeing is up 3.6% today, so that's one of the reasons why you've got a 387-point move to the upside in the Dow today. Meanwhile, will Boeing have any clients to sell to? Will there be any planes needed at American and United and Alaska and Frontier and JetBlue and Hawaiian and SkyWest? These companies are closing billions of dollars in U.S. Treasury loans just to keep them afloat. Or in the air, I guess. The U.S. Treasury Department says it's closed loans to 7 passenger airlines. Boy, they are in big trouble. The announcement comes days after American Airlines said it secured a $5.5 billion loan facility that could be raised to $7.5 billion. Well, this isn't a bailout. I mean, and this isn't the government taking an equity position. This is the government loaning these companies money at a preferential rate. Boeing to move all 787 Dreamliner production to South Carolina. There we go. They will announce plans as soon as this week to consolidate their Dreamliner assembly in South Carolina. Boeing has about 7,000 workers here in North Charleston, compared to 70,000 in Washington, including 30,000 at the Everett plant. Bank of America continues to say that the market is rotating out of growth and into value. You know how many times I've heard that over the last 12 years? And yet growth continues. Wow, look at Alibaba today. Woo, up 4.7%. I just saw a little headline over there. I do own Alibaba. Value versus growth. Well, I can tell you, here's a little story I have to tell. There was some great growth, high growth mutual funds back in the year 2000 in the San Diego area. And one of them got bought out for a huge premium. We should have known then that that was the top of the growth stock market. That was the top of the NASDAQ at 5,300. And this particular mutual fund company was heavily involved in those high-flying tech stocks. And the company that bought that big growth mutual fund, it was PIMCO that bought them. I'm sure they didn't do so well in the months after that purchase and the years after that purchase, as the assets under management, I'm sure, dwindled considerably. And then I remember the whole market kind of shifted away from growth to value for several years. And guess what happened in 2008, 2009? The value stocks got hammered. And there's also a big value mutual fund. Private equity fund. Private investment fund. They're not publicly traded. They don't run mutual funds. But you can invest with them, and they're a very well-known value house. They got clobbered in 2008 and 2009, and their assets under management were decimated, which tells me the answer is somewhere in the middle. Growth kind of leans towards momentum, and value leans toward valuation. And there's these two camps that war between each other. They have value conferences. They have growth conferences. There's momentum investors. There's value investors. I say the answer is somewhere in the middle. And that's why I came up with the Best Stocks Now app after being a witness to a growth mutual fund crashing and being a witness in my own home city, in my backyard, and watching a value investor have a huge outflow and a big drop in their assets because their stocks that they own went way down. That's part of my the DNA that in my body that I've watched over the year and the experience I've seen in the market, saying, you know what, the answer is somewhere in the middle. And that's what was one of the founding principles of developing the Best Stocks Now app, was to take the best of value and the best of growth or momentum and combine them. And you can see my ranking on tipranks.com, tipranks.com, to see whether or not this methodology works. So anyways, Bank of America, oh, here's their picks. Oh, you need to buy Goldman Sachs. You need to buy Citigroup. You need to buy Allstate. You need to buy East West Bank Corp. And First Horizon and Boston Properties and Kimco. Let's not forget Exxon and Chevron. Well, you know what? Okay, that's the value side of the equation. Here's my answer. If Exxon starts gathering some momentum and it returns to growth in earnings, and the stock has momentum and value going on at the same time, it will rise in my app. But right now, it's absolutely dead in the water. I want to see that momentum come in and combine with that valuation, and then you've got both oars in the water. Big deal in the gambling business today. That's a hot sector of the market. I got a couple of gambling stocks to talk about today. Caesars is acquiring William Hill. You know, William Hill is a major betting bookie joint, if you will, out of the UK. Caesars is buying it for $3 billion. Online gambling, a major growth industry in America. And you know the other players. We'll talk about a couple of them when we come back. But we've got a lot of IPOs today, including a big one. and some stocks you might not have heard of. We'll be right back. Back here to the second half of the Best Stocks Now Radio Hour. Dow up 353, NASDAQ up 142, surging. We are surging here at Gunderson Capital Management. A stock we recently wrote up in Seeking Alpha, Boyd, BYDDF or BYDDY. Take your pick. Two versions of Boyd, vanilla or plain vanilla. It's up 13% today, and great research done by Barry on that one as we wrote that one up recently in Seeking Alpha. We've got another big winner. Maybe that'll push us into the top 100 on tip ranks. Out of 7,500, we're number 107 right now with the veracity of our picks. I want to crack that top 100. Maybe Boyd will push us through. We'll see. Penn having a good day, up 7.1%. Alibaba surging. That's a big position here. It's up 4.6%. JD.com surging, up 4.5% today. Tencent Holdings surging, up 3.1% today. So we're having a good day here at Gunderson Capital Management. You know, I see these stocks from day to day. I usually will mention a stock if it's up 600% in a day on some kind of crazy news that came from left field. There's usually a pattern to these stocks. Probably at the top, if you can catch them when they're up 600%, to short them. Case in point, a liquid biopsy is becoming a new sector, a hot sector. Don't have to go in, cut out the tumor, do a test, all this and that. Invasive, right? Non-invasive test, testing on all kinds of different things. You know, the pioneer in this really is Exact Sciences with their non-invasive, you know, colon cancer test. And now it's coming to other different kinds of cancer. So yesterday, Aptorum, APM, a little biotech announces that all of a sudden they're in the liquid biopsy business. Stock goes up 600%. Well, so what do they do? Here's the pattern. They announce a public offering that evening. In other words, we're going to float 2.7 million shares, and we're going to raise $9 million from that float. That dilutes the current shareholders. The stock is down 40% today. But from its high, there's the key. It was at 12 during the peak of the fervor. It's gone all the way down to 3. I think I'll start a trading service of shorting these daily morning glories. You know, that's what in the horse racing industry. I remember when I was a kid watching the horse races, a horse would work out really fast in the morning. And then he'd get to the actual races, and he called them morning glories. Maybe I should have the morning glory trading fund. Yeah, short those stocks that are up 600% in the morning. Minimum pay rate approved for Uber and Lyft drivers in Seattle. Modeled after a similar regulation in New York City, Uber and Lyft drivers, and they'll now earn $16.39 per hour, effective in January. Because Uber and Lyft are struggling mightily with COVID. And, of course, in California, they're fighting the reclassifying of Uber and Lyft drivers as employees. Well, Lyft comes back to Seattle and says the city's plan is deeply flawed and will actually destroy jobs for thousands of people. In other words, if they're just driving around waiting for a call to pick someone up, they'll get $16 an hour to just be cruising around town. So we'll see where it goes. But tough tough business to be in right now. Palantir, today's the day. This is a very well-connected company. The same people that brought you PayPal are bringing you Palantir. It's going public today. Let's see what the price is right now. It has not opened yet. I think it's being priced. Yeah, it hasn't opened yet. I think it's hoping to come out somewhere between $10 and $15, which would make it a $30 billion company. This is Peter Thiel. He's the one of the guy's main people behind Palantir, PLTR, which is a software company that privacy, looking after your privacy and other things. More IPOs today. It's kind of like a lot of crappy IPOs. Pardon the French, but they're coming public before the IPO market dries up, which would eventually will. And these SPACs, S-P-A-Cs, there's another one today, $330 million. Hey, give us the money, and we'll go find something to buy. You don't know what we're going to buy. They could buy a county dump outside of Memphis or whatever. You don't know what they're going to buy. You're just given money. Go ahead. Do whatever you want to do. Here's $330 million. Here's another one going public. China's largest pet-focused online retailer. Well, you might want to watch that one. We know that Chewy.com did pretty well here in the U.S. Very well. One of the hottest IPOs of the year, pet supplies online. Well, now you got one going public in China. BQ. BQ, I'm going to put that one on my watch list. I see it down 10% right now, but they are China's answer to Chewy, okay? Like a Walmart steak. Software maker Datto files for IPO, okay? Another one going public. I've never seen so many IPOs going public. The IPO market is very much... has entered into a bubble. When it will burst, I don't know. But there seems to be plenty of money to be continuing to be thrown at these IPOs. Moderna, update on their COVID. We haven't heard from Moderna for a while. Their vaccine shows positive effects in older adults in early stage studies. Now, that's something that stood out to me in Johnson & Johnson's results. Johnson & Johnson's were showing like a 65% efficacy amongst younger people and only a 35%, that's in building the antibodies, in an older population of 65. And it looks like Moderna is having better luck in the early phases of these results coming in with theirs, with the older folks. The Nikola saga continues. General Motors will not finalize its deal with Nikola. It was supposed to happen today. They're going to take a second look. Maybe they'll do their due diligence this time a little bit better. This has turned into a train wreck, as now there's sexual allegations by members of Trevor Milton's family. This thing is wild. What a crazy story that has become. Now Nikola plans to use direct communication to the media. Maybe they'll tweet things to the media and investors instead of the social media posts that Trevor Milton favored. He got himself into a lot of trouble making a lot of promises. We will see how that turns out. In the meantime, Walmart's going to use Tesla trucks. No interest in Nikola trucks that someday might be on the road. Walmart says it has more than tripled its reservations of Tesla semi-trucks to a total of 130. Well, you know what? That's another way to save money in this order online business that has swept across our country. It's got to be delivered. Part of that cost, obviously, is the delivery, the cost of the drivers, the fuel, everything, the vehicles, and electric trucks by Walmart. Where are they going to get them? Tesla. Now, there's other trucks out there in this electric. Let's not forget that Daimler, North America, Daimler, Knight Swift, major transportation trucking company, they're teaming up with Daimler Trucks of North America, DDAIF, to deploy the company's first zero-emissions battery electric vehicle, consisting of a pre-production Freightliner E-Cascadia cab tractor. The Freightliner E-Cascadia is equipped with a fully electric drivetrain and will be used by Knight Swift to service the greater Los Angeles area with the benefit of zero tailpipe emissions. Add Daimler to the electric vehicle sector. Wow, how many players will there be when this is all over? This is Bill Gunderson, our featured stock of the day when we come back.
You gotta go where you wanna go.
Welcome back to the final segment of the Best Stocks Now Radio Hour. Well, we just had our latest article go public, published 56 minutes ago on Seeking Alpha. It's a stock in a red-hot sector. You can go to SeekingAlpha.com and see our latest stock. It's very much under the radar, very much under the radar. And that's how we like it. We like to find under the radar stocks. Very few people on Seeking Alpha know about it. Very few people follow the stock. Well, we're introducing the stock to the Seeking Alpha audience today. That went hot 56 minutes ago. You can go to SeekingAlpha.com to see the latest offering from the Gunderson team. Well, recently we wrote about a stock back on September the 17th, 2 weeks ago. But this stock that I'm going to feature today, I added it to the emerging growth portfolio, which currently owns about 18 stocks. These are the AA baseball. This is our top prospect portfolio. This is the ones that you have to really be early on finding. You know, baseball has scouts traveling all over the world. Well, they spend a lot of time in the Dominican Republic. They spend a lot of time looking at the Cuban players and the Venezuelan players and all over the world trying to find the best prospects, the next phenom out there in the baseball world. Well, you know what? I do the same thing. I mean, I get up every morning. It's still dark. Most days when I get up, it's still dark. And I'm doing research, looking for the next great thing, and also viewing what's going on with the stocks that I currently own. And I have a lot of fun. I created that emerging growth portfolio. Has not been a friendly environment for small and micro-cap stocks, which a lot of these are. But we've put up some pretty good returns, and we've nailed some monster winners out of that. Right now, Fiverr's up 237%. Livongo's up 249%. We've owned both of those stocks for less than a year. How about them apples? Well, we bought a stock back on July the 10th of this year. Roughly 3 months ago, actually it was, July the 10th, about 3 months ago. Warren Buffett owns 25% of this stock. What's Warren Buffett's pick in the electric vehicle industry, the red-hot sector, one of the hottest sectors in the entire market? Well, he owns 25% of this company. We wrote it up back on September 17th, when you're looking up our current article today, go back and look at this article on Boyd Company, BYDDF or BYDDY. One trades on the pink sheets. One trades on the gray market. Take a look and see which one trades the most volume, I would say. Buffett, 25% shareholder of Boyd Company, which is flying today. Man, it's flying. Boyd is up 13% today. It has blasted off. It was $4 a share earlier this year. We picked it up in July in this portfolio. We're now up 61%. If you're a live trading subscriber on my beststocksnowapp.com service, I sent out the buy on this stock back on July the 10th, 2020. It's up 61% so far. They don't all win. You know, there's risk in this. I have one that's down 61% that had a new COVID test. But overall, the portfolio so far this year is up 13%, and the S&P is up 0.6%. So it's done pretty good versus the S&P 500. And in an environment where small and mid-caps have vastly underperformed the rest of the market. Well, Boyd is actually a large cap. It's just not well known. It's a $44 billion company. It's China. China stocks are on fire today. Not sure why. Maybe they had some good reports. I would also say this, that I think the China stocks will do better under a Biden administration than a Trump administration. Maybe that's why the Chinese stocks, maybe the market says Biden's going to win. I don't know. I don't know what's going on. I don't know why the Chinese stocks are flying today, but they are. And Boyd is one of the biggest, that's our biggest winner for the day. It's up 13%. Now, Boyd is ranked number 46 out of 5,379. Boyd was mired in the muck for a long time, many years. Was mired in the $4 to $7 area, just kind of bouncing around. Then all of a sudden, this EV thing, electric vehicle thing, is really taken off between Tesla, NIO, Boyd, formerly Nikola. It was a major player until I think the public finally caught on, or at least Hindenburg caught on and a couple others. Congratulations to them, because I think they're right about Trevor Milton. Anyways, Boyd is a major player, number 46 rank out of 5,379. You can see our valuation on the stock, the momentum that the stock currently possesses. When you combine those two, number 46 overall, that's our featured stock of the day. Well, if your guy gets up earlier than the other guys out there and is looking for these kinds of stocks, stay with them. God bless you. If not, and you've got the same old junk that most people own, these big, large index mutual funds, the boring stuff, well, give us a call. Put us to work for, put our team to work for you. 855-611-BEST. 855-611-BEST or GundersonCapital.com. Check out our latest stock that is on our radar. Probably haven't heard of it. We wrote it up, fresh article, just out, Seeking Alpha. We'll see how many people we introduce this one to. We'll see how it does. We're really trying hard to crack the top 100 there. We're 107 right now. We're in the top, I think, 1.8% of all the people writing. Well, you know, if anything else, it lends credence. It validates combining value with momentum, having your offense on the field at times, and when you can't, have your little defense on the field too. Active, not passive. Gunderson Capital Management. Have a great day, everybody.
This show is not a solicitation to buy or sell any securities. Bill Gunderson or clients of Gunderson Capital Management may have long or short positions in stocks mentioned during the show. Gunderson Capital Management is a fee-based registered investment advisory firm. All accounts are held at Ameritrade. Ameritrade is a member of SIPC and FINRA.